Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to the tribes, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you." For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Esther, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5 and 18 through 23. Now in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, when the king's command and edict were about to be executed, on the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain power over them, but which had changed to a day when the Jews would gain power over their foes, the Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who had sought their ruin, and no one could withstand them because the fear of them had fallen upon all peoples. All the officials of the provinces, the satraps and the governors and the royal officials were supporting the Jews because the fear of Mordecai had fallen upon them. For Mordecai was powerful in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces as the man Mordecai grew more and more powerful. So the Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, slaughtering and destroying them, and did as they pleased with those who hated them. But the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th day and on the 14th, and rested on the 15th day, making that a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages who live in the open towns hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day of gladness and feasting, a holiday on which they send gifts of food to one another. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor. So the Jews adopted a custom, what they had begun to do, as Mordecai had written to them. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 through 12. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than the many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to defend yourselves or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you are to say. Good morning and welcome to the second Wednesday of Eastertide. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting in Walkersville, Maryland. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 122, Esther 9, and Luke 12. And the Esther reading continues in this story of Esther and Mordecai and the reversal of the treatment of the Jews under King Ahasuerus. And verse 5 stood out to me, because it sounds so similar to, the Exodus and Joshua narratives. The Jews struck down all their enemies with a sword, slaughtering and destroying them, and did as they pleased to those who hate them. Not so much the latter part, but struck them down by the sword and slaughtered and destroyed them. It sounds a lot like some of the ancient battles that are described in Exodus and Joshua and, you know, perhaps even parts of Judges. And at first glance, it's, you know, it looks like vengeance. And Christians might remember, you know, one of the things that Jesus reminded us was, you know, do not take vengeance because it belongs to God. And I think that's true. I also think that Christians are called something distinct, but it's important to notice that, you know, the earlier part of the story, you know, this, nothing happens in a vacuum. It's just like saying, look, you know, there's a reason that 11 hijackers, you know, stole planes and crashed them into American landmarks. It's not, they hate America for a reason. Them hating America is not the punchline. It's, or, you know, it's not the, like, you know, there's a rationale behind it, whether we agree with it or not. So too, here in Esther, the people that hated them had the power to destroy them and were getting ready to do so. And it wasn't everybody. God, I can't even remember the guy's name now from yesterday. But the people who held the most power, like King Ahasuerus and some of the officials, they weren't actually doing wrong. Somebody else was trying to piggyback on their power and use that power to affect their desires, which was to destroy the Jews. Esther and Mordecai gained the upper hand, and the enemies that they slaughtered and destroyed were, you know, the trap that they set caught them instead. And so, you know, had it not been for those you know, preparing to do those things, I mean, the gallows was hung for Mordecai, and instead, the man hung was the one who was laying all these plans. And had he not set this plan in motion, and had there not been others who had supported him and wanted to advance that plan, none of it would have happened. And so on the one hand, like, if, you know, for those of us who desire to be nonviolent, this comes off as kind of messed up. But that isn't what Israel was called to. And we can read these things, I think, without, you know, casting aspersions backward into time, as though, you know, we know it's best for, you know, people in the past. You know, it's kind of like, you know, slaveholding in, you know, the 1700s. Like the founders, they were, some more than others, were prophetic in recognizing that this was a problem. But we often fail to realize what it means to be an outlier, like what it means to cut against the grain of social expectations. It really is intimidating, and it really is powerless. Like it had, I don't know, Thomas Jefferson or something, like if he had freed the slaves, that would have been an entirely unique circumstance. And I get really frustrated when, and I think it's really popular to do, to kind of cast our current expectations and ethics and understandings and cast them back and cast judgment on people who are long dead, who belong to a culture that was vastly different than ours. A similar but far less problematic example would be like somebody who tweeted something 20 years ago, and now we dig it up and we want to cancel them because, like, 20 years ago, same person technically, but was it really? Because a lot has happened. Me Too, Black Lives Matter, like, I'm not the same. I don't have the same understanding 20 years ago that I do now. Like, that you're judging someone for not knowing any better, frankly. The people that know better, we get pissed off that they didn't do more. And so as I read this text in Esther, I think, man, it's kind of messed up. But that's me trying to put myself in history and then take my moral qualms with me and then, you know, put those qualms on everybody else. Where in fact, I think what's ultimately happening is what the Bible is telling us is, look, you laid these traps and now they caught you. And I think God has done that before. And God, I think, does it still in a unique way. But the context is important. We shouldn't ignore the context. If we do, we're no better than them. You know, they ignore what we think is important and the social norms that we have. There's a certain kind of arrogance that casts ourselves back in time along with our own expectations and desires that, cultures, 20, 50, 100 years ago may not have had. And then we judge them, as having done something wrong when they didn't really know any better. Or that culture, as I think is a case in Esther this morning, they're standing perfectly within their own historical tradition, that God complicates and frustrates the plans of evil people and uses it against them, often using Israel as that instrument of reversal. And so it is. It's kind of frustrating to read this and think like, oh man, why don't you just turn the other cheek? But to think that and to expect that not only requires a bit of arrogance, but also ignores what's going on in the text and what's going on in the tradition that we claim that we inherit. Prayer for Quiet Confidence from the Book of Common Prayer. O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Spirit lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/PewPewHQ. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.